Good morning. Glad to see everyone this morning. This is a special morning. We have a baptism after the service. If you can stay for it, please do. We're going to read a passage this morning that I figure is probably being read in 99% of the churches today, of the Christmas story. The text is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Father, I thank you that your word never returns to you empty. And Lord, now I ask that your word has its way here this morning. As we gather to celebrate the birth of our Savior, I pray that you will enlighten every heart here, that we will all see that it's just what we needed, and not be concerned about someone else coming to Christ, but have we ever actually came to you. I pray that your Spirit will walk these aisles this morning, that you will anoint me to preach your word to your people. And Lord, we eagerly await to hear from you what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of controversy over the 25th of December not being the correct date that Jesus was born. And I've read the arguments, and some say it might have been April. Some went as far as June and July. And the church about the 5th century A.D. made the decision that that's when they was going to honor the birth of the Lord. And of course, that church had a pope, so a lot of people are opposed to it for that reason. And I came to the conclusion, I don't care. I don't worship the pope. I worship the baby that was born. And I read one minister's comment that the church doesn't have a right to appoint a holy day. And I don't know what book he's reading, but Jesus said to his church, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I don't think he's greatly offended that his church has said we're going to choose December 25th. We've been talking leading up to this story through the month of December We talked about the fall of man, how God made man and woman good, very good. And they only had one law in the garden, and that was don't eat off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you'll die. And they ate it, and they died. And I mean, they not only did they die physically later, but they died spiritually. They lost the closeness that they had with the Creator. And when that happened, He passed judgment upon everybody involved. But He gave them a hope. He said to the serpent, the seed of the woman, and you will be against one another, and you will strike his heel. The Hebrew says bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. So even in the garden, God had a plan for man's redemption. And the scriptures say before he even made them, that he already had this planned. He knew what was going to happen. And I have to agree with C.S. Lewis, who said, I find it remarkable that God went ahead and did it anyway, knowing what it would cost. We then read of when God tested Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, and Abraham obeyed him. And at the last minute, God stopped him before he killed him, and the Lord swore by himself, because you haven't withheld your only son from me, He said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. And the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Galatians said, God didn't say offspring many, offspring one. And that offspring is Christ. And that's who we're there to talk about this morning. Last week, we talked about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and telling her, you're going to have a child. And Mary was engaged, but her and Joseph hadn't come together, and she told Gabriel, I've never been with a man. And he said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the child born to you will be the Son of the Most High God. Some religions argue today that Jesus can't be the Son of God. He doesn't have any kids. And you know, well, if that's what you want to believe, you go right on believing that. But you're not going to like the end, the outcome. You see, Paul said Adam, who was the Son of God, brought sin and death into the world when he sinned, so it only stands to reason that it was the Son of God who would bring righteousness and forgiveness. It couldn't be just any man. In fact, it says in Isaiah, God said, I looked over all men, and there was no one to intercede. And he said, I was appalled. God said, I honestly took a look at mankind and woman, and none of them could stand in the gap. That's what an intercessor does. Job, in his trials, said, oh, that there was a daysman to put one hand on me and one on the Almighty and bring us together. A daysman's an umpire, what we call an umpire today. That was somebody who mediated at conflicts, and the daysman could not be more for one side than the other. He was for both sides. He was for resolving the conflict in a fair and just manner. And Job said, I wish there was such a daysman. Well, good news, he's been here. Yeah. You know, when this baby was born, I believe that the devil walked up and looked down at that baby and said, that's the guy. That's the one that's going to crush my head. And so immediately he began his own plans to try to undo what God was doing. But you know, you can't do that. God is sovereign. He's all powerful. Some people are afraid of that word. That doesn't bother me one bit. He is sovereign. And I talked last week about the promise fulfilled. When he made the promise to Mary, well, then she told Joseph, I'm pregnant, but it's by God. And Joseph said, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Bible said he didn't want to embarrass her publicly by divorcing her. So he was going to do it quietly. And an angel appeared to him in a dream, said, no, Joseph, that is God's baby. And it said he got up that night and took her into his home. But he didn't know her until after Jesus was born. So God had to have a very unique pair of people in mind to raise that baby. He wouldn't just let anyone raise his child. Well, this morning we're at the manger. Now, the Lord gave Israel a sign. I like that because he sends Isaiah to King Ahaz, and God says, ask me any sign you want. Any sign, ask me, and I'll give it to you. Then you'll know that what I'm saying is going to happen. And Ahaz said, oh, I don't want to tempt the Lord. And the Lord said, how long do I have to put up with you guys? He said, then I'll pick a sign. This is the sign he picked. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew gives the interpretation of that name, which means God with us. So God said, here's your sign. Not in that way. Here's your sign. A virgin will conceive and have a child, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. So that sign, that prophecy was fulfilled. When the angel spoke to Mary and said, you're going to become pregnant, God fulfilled his word. When the Bible says here that Caesar decided to tax, to tax the land, in order for that census to happen with the Israelites, you would return back to not your place of birth, but the place of the birth of your ancestors. And Joseph was from the line of David, King David. David was born in Bethlehem, so Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. Now, usually he wouldn't take his wife. A man didn't have to take his wife. He was the one that dealt with the census takers, filled out the information. They want to know who you were, what your wife's name was, who was your mom and dad, what kind of business are you in, how much do you make a year, pretty much like today. They're asking a bunch of questions, but he went ahead and took Mary. And the prophecy was fulfilled that said, you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Isn't that somehow God just worked that out? It seems like Caesar Augustus said one day and goes, you know what? I've got an idea. I think I'm going to tax the Jews and I'm going to count them. Hooey, what an idea. And God said, thank you, Caesar. That's what I told you to do. So Caesar was helping to fulfill a prophecy and he didn't know it. God leaves any means available to him to do his will. So Mary's in Bethlehem with her husband, engaged husband, their fiancés. In Jewish law, they were married, but they weren't man and wife yet, okay? And I talked last week about how Mary and Joseph said to the Lord, your will be done, and the scandal they opened themselves up to. You know there was people in Nazareth said, now I've been counting the time that they had that engagement party, and she's carrying this wood colt. Because it's a little bit earlier than when, you know, I've been counting the months up. And Mary said, I'm the servant of the Lord. I don't care what people say about me. Boy, we need that kind of people today in the church. I don't care what people say. I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. And the Lord said, all right, hon, thank you. And now she's in Bethlehem having a baby. And the angel had told her not to be afraid of this experience. He said, that baby you're going to have, you're going to name him Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, is the Hebrew. There's no J in Hebrew. So his name is Yeshua. We say Jesus, that's the Western translation of the Greek word. And we say Jesus, and the Hebrews said Yeshua. Yeshua means God saves. Fitting name. God saves. God was involved in our community of man, I will call it, the community of the world. Remember I told you God said, I looked and there was no one to save. So my own arm worked out salvation for me. That's how concerned he was about our eternal destiny. God said, I can't have this. Adam messed it up. Jesus is going to fix it. So the angel said, Mary, that child born of you is going to be holy. The Son of God. And here she has the Son of God. I like that song, Mary, Did You Know? I like that song. It makes me think, you know, did you realize you were looking into God's face when you looked into the eyes of that baby? The Creator who created you, you were holding Him. Now, I'm not here to give you a lecture in theology, but this is important that Christians understand this. Jesus is the Word of God, who was God Himself, who became flesh and entered into our territory, our world. Why? It says in Hebrews, because the children partake of flesh and blood, He too partook of the same. He had to. God didn't send Him to save angels, He sent Him to save men and women. This is why Christmas can be such a joyous time for us, because we realize that the Savior has come. That's the focus of this. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, you know, it freaked the shepherds out. That ain't the Greek. It didn't say and they freaked out, but it freaked them out. How would you like being in the middle of a dark field one night just looking at the stars and listening to the sheep bleat, and all of a sudden you see this glorified heavenly being in front of you, and what's the first thing He says? Don't be afraid, guys. Too late. You know, man, we're freaked. One of them pushed his pipe away and said, think I've had enough. No. Because they feared judgment. Sometimes when an angel showed up, it wasn't a good thing. And yet this angel shows up and says, I bring you great news, which will be for joy for all people, Jew and Gentile. Both. White and black. Irish and not Irish. All people. For unto you this day is born a Savior. You ever get something for Christmas and you just get so tickled because it's like, man, this is what I needed. How did they know this is what I needed? Not wanted. We want a lot of things we don't need. We need things we don't want. You know, but you ever get a gift, you needed it. And you can appreciate, say, man, I needed this. God sent us what we needed. Yeah. The angel said, a Savior is born. Why? Because you need to be saved. Yeah. You know, it's not going to do you any good to believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world if you don't include yourself in that group. You can't be saved. If you don't know that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. You won't be. You'll think, well, that's a nice story. You know, we always got that in the church. Somebody's listening to a sermon and say, boy, I sure hope he's paying attention. Well, you probably ought to be the one paying attention. And the angel, it was good news. It was glorious news. Peter said the angels long to look into those things, but it doesn't concern angels. But they appeared to these men and said, there's a Savior born today. The word Savior in the Greek means to make safe, to deliver, to preserve, to keep alive. You know, we talk about being saved from our sins, and sometimes I don't think Christians, we really understand what being saved means, and the literal Greek and Hebrew word means rescued from danger. So there again, if you don't see that you are in danger, you can't be rescued. I was trying to explain this to a guy one time, and he was asking me about salvation. And I knew he liked to fish, and I said, well, let me give you an example. You and I are fishing on a pond. We're on the dam side of it, the deep end, and you fall in. And you can't swim, and you're choking. And I reach my hand out to you and say, get my hand, I'll pull you in. And you slap my hand away and say, I don't need your help, I'll do it myself. He said, boy, that would be stupid. I said, yeah. And suppose I reached out to you several times and begged you, get a hold of my hand, I'll pull you out of that water. And you kept slapping my hand away until finally you got so tired you went under and that was it. I said, how many people, if they knew the story, would blame me? Well, it's Rick's fault. Rick should have done something. You know, he should have done something else. And people do that to God all the time. The Bible says a man's own ways will bring him to destruction, and his heart rages against God. It's all God's fault. Just watch the talk shows today. That's what they'll say. Ain't my fault, you know. Ain't my fault that I'm a mass murderer. I'm a victim of my times. I was watching a movie once, and this guy was in prison, and the prison chaplain said, what happened to you? He said, I was a victim of circumstance. He said, He said, yeah, I got caught. That's honest. And the angel said to these men, there's a Savior born for you. But the good news, it's not just for you. It's for anyone who will call on the name of the Lord. He is Christ. Christos. In the Hebrew, is HaMashiach. Messiah, the anointed of God. That's what Mashiach means. HaMashiach, the anointed of God. So the angel says, there's been a Savior born for you, God's anointed. That's pretty high up there. You know that? God's anointed. He's the Christ. We say Jesus Christ like it's his last name. It's not. It's a title. Jesus on earth by the people in Nazareth would have called him Yeshua Bar Yosef. Jesus, the son of Joseph. But Joseph wasn't his real daddy. Okay? He was the son of God. And at his trial, when the high priest said, I adjure you by the living God, tell us plainly, are you HaMashiach? Bar Elohim? No, I don't speak Hebrew. Don't get all excited. I've just looked up these phrases. Are you the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God? You know, if Jesus wouldn't have answered that question, they'd have let him go. They didn't have any evidence against him. But he looked that high priest right in the eye and he said, I am. And they nailed him to a cross for that. Okay? But this is the baby we're talking about. Born to go to the cross. That's why he came. And these angels are rejoicing. They can't be saved, you know. The Bible says the angels who fell, they've been locked in eternal chains waiting for the judgment. But they're rejoicing over God's mercy for man. They're excited about it. So they're singing. I said, man, there's a Savior born today who's here to deliver you from you and from sin. I'm my worst enemy. I found that out. When I was a baby Christian, I'd say, oh, the devil's my worst enemy. But I figured out after about 5 years, he takes the back seat to me. I'm my own worst enemy. And an angel said, I know somebody came to save you from that. God's anointed one. God said, my power worked out salvation. We can't do it. There's still people today that say, well, you know, I go to church and I try to be a good person and I try to put money in the plate or in the box, you know, and I try to volunteer around the church, and when I stand before God, you see I'm using that monotone because to me that's all it is. Just drone on and on and on. And that won't save you. Being the son of a preacher won't save you. Yeah. Being an elder in the church doesn't save you. Yeah. You're not saved until you see that you're in danger. You can't be saved until you know you're in danger. That's why there's so many shallow conversions in the church today. Preachers are afraid to tell people you're in danger because they might get mad and leave. You know. You're in danger. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, you are in mortal danger. You're going to lose your soul. And it's so precious to Him that He had a plan devised before He ever hung this earth and said, I know what's going to happen, and I've already got a plan. You can be saved through no other name but Jesus. Yeah. No other name. I love it. There's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That word there, the Lord, you know what it means? God. Jehovah. The supreme God. Wow. God went all out, didn't He? Yeah. He went all out. He said, I don't have just any Savior for you. He's part of me. John said He came from the Father's bosom. The Greek says side. They like this. And then He allowed them to be like this so He could come here and minister for us. What a God. I have trouble getting my head around that. You know. That He loved me so much. That's what you're going to have to, you got to own this. For God so loved Rick that He gave His one and only Son, that if Rick would believe in Him, he wouldn't have to perish. Perish what? Perish in my sins. Eternal separation from Him. He was so concerned about that happening to me. And He said, I know He's a knothead, but I'm sending my Son for Him. I'm going to give Him a chance. And when I was His enemy, He sent His Son to die for me. I had to own that one day. And I did. 1984, February of 1984, I finally got a hold of that truth. Remember that song we used to sing as kids at church camp? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Yeah. One day that truth stared me right in the face. I call it crisis moments or crossroad decisions. There comes a time in everyone's life you're going to have to answer that question, who do you think He is? And if He's a Savior, have you called on Him? He's not asking you to do mighty works. He's asking you to come to Him with your broken life and give it to Him. Ask for His forgiveness. Submit to His Lordship in your life. He will wash you in His blood. He will turn you into a new creation. And He'll set your feet back on the right path. And it's up to you, Christian, if you're going to walk on it. I could smoke pot anytime I want to. But I don't want to. My want to's changed. I don't want to get high. I don't want to get drunk. I don't want to. I mean, I can really say I don't want to. Because once I tasted of Jesus Christ, nothing else would do. Yeah. Boy, God said, guys, have I got a gift for you. The shepherd said, let's go see. I can imagine. Let's go see this. What we've been waiting for. Why didn't God have his kid born in a palace? The Jewish leaders would have been more willing to accept him. Because he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. This Tuesday is your spending time with family, maybe exchanging gifts, having your dinners. Don't forget to throw a thank you his way. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me that this isn't the time of the year Jesus was born. I agree with that. But this is the time that we celebrate his birth. And it's easy to get caught up in the material things if you're not careful. But remember that God has said, I sent you a Savior. Because that's what you need. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, if you're here this morning and you need to make that decision, I ask that you would come up here and sit down. I'll be glad to talk with you. If you're here this morning and you're a believer but you're away from the Lord, then don't walk out of here without fixing that. My Bible says if I confess my sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive me.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I do a lot of confessing, church. Been a Christian 34 years, and I still do a lot of confession. But I can come into the throne room of grace boldly in my time of need. And I'm pretty needy sometimes, so praise God.
Amen.
I hope that every heart here this morning can say, yeah, I did what you did. I made the same decision, and I've never regretted it. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation, please?
All to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Oh.
Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for the opportunity and the ability to come together and worship in your name and glorify the gift that you've offered us, the sacrifice of your Son for our sins. We'd like to thank you for the opportunity to witness a lost sheep coming home to your family and to your grace and to your mercy and accepting the gift that you have offered to him and to all of us. We want to thank you for this opportunity. We want to thank you for the sacrifice, the grace, and the mercy that you have offered to us. We ask these things and we ask for your blessings in all things this coming week and in the coming days. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.